Welcome back to another episode of Smack Talk, Social, Mobile, Analytics, and Cloud. I'm Daniel Newman. I'm your host today for this special edition sponsored by Intel, and I'm very excited to be talking Visual Cloud with Lynn Comp. Lynn is the Vice President of the Data Center Group and General Manager, Visual Cloud Division, Network Platform Group at Intel. That was a mouthful. Hello, Lynn. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Daniel. Yeah, we have a rule that titles and code names need to be as long as possible. That's sarcastic, but in some cases, I feel badly for people who have to read all of our titles off. So thank you. You got it perfect.
I nailed it. I actually had it in writing right in front of me so that there was no way that I could get it wrong. But I love that you have a little bit of humor about it. So Lynn, start out, say hello to the community here at Smack Talk, and just tell everybody a little bit about what all that means, about what you do every day for Intel.
Visual Cloud is a really interesting space because we have a number of different organizations that would be focused on more enterprise, or another organization that would be focused on helping cloud services be transformed and more easily expand. And there's another team that's really focused on network. What's really fascinating about the Visual Cloud is that because they are visual workloads that are processed on cloud architectures but consumed remotely, that means we're a horizontal. So I work with the enterprise and government group on things like remote graphics, because a lot of enterprises want to be able to have their subcontractors get into 3D models, but not necessarily give them the whole model. So remote access is really critical for intellectual property, for example. In the case of cloud services, those are ones that we all know and love. We are addicted to videos. In fact, there's a data point that in the US, more 18 to 49-year-olds are tuning into YouTube than TV shows. And so that's just one data point to give you an example of just how much the cloud services for these visual technologies are changing our habit. And then in the network case, it would be your traditional broadcast delivery of things from Comcast, for example, or other similar broadcasters.
Yeah, no, that's a big ground to cover. And I was actually reading your article, I was reading your article from DCI Summit, and it was terrific giving some background on the Visual Cloud and your data point that you just gave about the 18 to 49-year-olds. Now, I'm right there in the middle of that, right? 37, that's the middle, not the end. I'm not getting old yet. You are absolutely right, though. I catch myself day in and day out watching. When I'm actually consuming content that I'm paying attention to, it's on my phone, usually on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. And the TV seems to be more like background noise for me now. So I've definitely witnessed exactly what you're talking about in terms of content consumption. And I think if you spend time in New York on the subway, or, you know, just at an event and you just kind of watch people's behavior, you're seeing not only are people on their phones more, but they are watching a lot more video on these mobile devices.
Absolutely. And in fact, it was funny, it's a worldwide trend as well. At that data center summit, I gave a quiz to the technical press audience and asked them of Netflix's 130 million subscribers that they just announced in July, what percentage do you think is US and what percentage do you think is outside the US? And they all guessed wrong. They all said that it's got to be mostly in the U.S. And it turns out that about 70 to 72 million are international. So it's not just a North America Western trend. It's worldwide, which is the other thing that makes it exciting.
Oh, yeah. I imagine it's following. And as long as the bandwidth is there, which is a whole nother topic of things that Intel is working on, right, with 5G. But the bandwidth is there. I think people are going to be jumping all over these trends. Lynn, I have a few questions for you. I want to make sure I get out there because I think this audience is going to be really interested. So you've kind of teased as you introduced yourself and your role, but Visual Cloud isn't a term people hear every day. In your world, it is, but not in the overall world. Cloud is sort of ubiquitously used to discuss every type of cloud that is out there. So Right. Tell me a little bit, what is the Visual Cloud, and why should I or any of the listeners out there care?
The thing with the Visual Cloud that makes it so exciting is it's everything from business models that are more social media oriented. Advertising is increasingly using video to hook people. And in fact, video marketing is becoming more and more common, even for small businesses. So from the standpoint of a smaller medium business, that is a tool that they're finding has increasing effectiveness in hooking people in. And so the best way that you can work with these these technologies in leveraging cloud architectures would be to really learn what is the most effective solution for the network that I have and for the business model that I have. The biggest challenge or opportunity, I think this is the fun part. There's no single design point with Visual Cloud. And so you might be doing video analytics, whether you're doing that for a security reason or whether you're doing it for ad insertion because you're a business and you want to look and sense at what that video stream that the person is watching might be and then insert an ad that might give them an opportunity based on what they're watching to go make a purchase. So all of these design points that you have to look at are proven to be a better hook to get more business, but it's something that needs to be evaluated. And I think it's really exciting for developers because they have to look at cloud architectures and those flexible platforms. And then they need to look at the network and just think about the perspective you mentioned with 5G. Previous networks, it would take you 6 minutes to download a 2-hour movie. There's projections in the industry that with 5G, it will take you less than 4 seconds to download a 2-hour movie. And so that gives a lot of more opportunities for the developers to create these experiences that either the network was a bottleneck or they had to have very specific video equipment. Now they can host in the cloud. So there's a lot of opportunities in that range of business models as well as workload placement and then what kind of experience you want to deliver the user.
And if you are trying to download a movie directly from Netflix as you are boarding a plane, it takes exactly however many minutes until you lose Wi-Fi to complete that.
Exactly.
I've noticed like the 6 minutes, I think, is actually a really friendly number based upon having some pretty darn good connectivity. So that 4-second number will make a lot of flights more enjoyable for me. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten it to, you know, you're watching that ticker as you're downloading that movie to, because of course you don't remember to do it before you leave. You do it as you're sitting on the tarmac and it's like, it's waiting.
Right.
And right when they, you know, they'll take off and it'll stop. So that's just such a great example of what's changing and sort of how this Visual Cloud is from end to end really affecting everybody that's out there. Now at Intel, of course, you guys are very on top of this trend. And you, of course, are focused on this day in and day out. Talk a little bit about what Intel's sort of approach, what's their strategy to addressing Visual Cloud and making some of what you were just discussing become a reality?
So our approach is really exciting because there is such a wide range between enterprise cloud and the communications broadcasters, so many different business models. We have this approach with software acceleration. And so we've been out in the market with something called the Media Server Studio, as well as WebRTC, which is a way to do streaming. We just announced OpenVINO over this last summer. And in September, an announcement will be coming or has come that we will be open sourcing DLDT, which is the deep learning development toolkit. And then with rendering, we've had OSP Embry, which are ray tracing and rendering, and they're open source libraries. One of the DNA about Intel is that we want to unleash innovation and make it as easy as possible for the developers and the solutions providers to figure out what is the right solution? What is the right design point? Where do I put this? Do I put it at the edge or in the cloud? That is something that needs to be opened up. And so we are opening up the access to things that you would traditionally have a hard time finding. One great example is we've announced that we will have something called scalable video technology for HEVC, and we will be collaborating in the industry for a project that's based on that same software code base to address AV1, which is an emerging technology that companies like Google and Netflix and others have expressed huge amounts of interest in. And so in open sourcing these capabilities, we believe that we can unleash innovation and get some of the things that are out of the way where the developers have to choose between something that's unoptimized reference code. And then they have to choose, am I going to spend 3 years and $10 million to optimize? And that is a real number I was given by one of our customers. Or they're going to have to use things that are a black box and productized and on the shelf, but may give them less flexibility in figuring out these different design point options that are facing them.
Yeah, so you mentioned this a little bit as you were answering that, but software. So of course, the hardware is sort of what everyone thinks about when they consider moving traffic, data downloads, visual content being, you know, getting from one point to another. But software is got to be important to this. Can you talk a little bit about the value of making software optimization happen to enable this visual cloud?
Absolutely. I think software is the hinge point of many of these things. It doesn't really matter how optimized of a solution that you have if you don't have the ability to move between the different design points. Am I going to have high power, high throughput? Or am I going to need low power, high throughput? You should be able to have the same software that is scalable across those different solution points. And because Intel has all of those different solution points, from the Intel Xeon scalable processor to the Intel Xeon D processor, we have FPGAs, all the way down to the eighth generation processor with Radeon graphics. All of that is something that you should be able to navigate through the solution space in software without having to rewrite everything. And that's really what we are aiming at, is taking the core functions and the different design points that you can have in the industry and making it possible to run on Xeon, Xeon D, the client devices, and even incorporating some technologies from Intel Movidius.
So a big part of this for the broadcast companies that you mentioned, those that are really building this out end to end and delivering video and delivering these solutions, is the fact that they can upgrade, you know, hardware. And as you guys continue to come up with new solutions, Xeon Scalable and Xeon Scalable D and all these that you've mentioned, they can do it somewhat seamlessly through software instead of making it as big of a kind of a rip and replace in from an infrastructure standpoint. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Absolutely. In fact, the role that I did before this was working with the communication service providers and broadcasters to transform their networks into network clouds. So that whole industry is making that switch already from fixed function black box appliances to off-the-shelf software-based, software-defined architectures so that we have a cloud-ready network. And so as that cloud-ready network makes 5G or enabling possible and makes the 5G operations possible, it also leaves space to have the flexibility with the software-defined visual cloud workloads, where you can do a full codec or encoder on a CPU, or you can run parts of it on an FPGA, or you can have it in a fixed function capability.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I want to come back to something you touched on briefly when you were talking about Intel strategy, open source. So a big thing across a lot of the technology areas right now is the ability to aggregate talent and those that can develop solutions that can maximize hardware and get the most out of that being delivered by Intel and company based. Intel's really big on this. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys are helping kind of drive innovation with open source?
Absolutely. So one of the first things that we're doing in this space in particular is we've had the Media Server Studio developer kit, and a large portion of that has been open for many years. OpenVINO, open sourcing inferencing capabilities that run on multiple different types of hardware and plug into multiple AI frameworks. It's in our DNA to not just do reference code in open source, though. We want to make it as optimized as we can on Intel platforms, because many of these developers start with something that is a CPU base. And so giving them something that is good performance and high flexibility allows many of these developers to really narrow in on what their design points need to be. And so the open source capability, the SVT AGVC encoder that we're talking about, it has up to 12 different presets. There's an objective quality mode, a subjective quality mode, and we've had customers that have been able to integrate it into their immersive media solutions, for example, in record time. And the level of optimization that those core functions has provided for them to build on top of allowed them to create demos in a matter of weeks, instead of having to optimize open source reference hardware that isn't really tuned, and then it just delays their time to market.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to talk to you for a while longer about this, but time is of the essence. Got events out there, you know, just absolutely going on like crazy. IBC, heels of so many other things. But I want you to kind of go back and just talk about the overall result. For me, for the users, for Intel, for you, what is the real outcome from all this investment, all this open source, all this optimization that the users should be feeling and that Intel is hoping to see?
One of my favorite examples of something that is made possible that wouldn't necessarily have been possible before are things like the YouTube channels or Twitch broadcasting. And the reason that I think that that is so exciting is because to some extent, everybody has an opportunity to be a creator. Everyone has an opportunity to be able to present their talents and their skills and their passions to a broader audience that in the past, they wouldn't have had the access to be able to do that. And so it's not just watching Ninja play Fortnite, for example. There's a social element that's being injected into all of these communities that I personally find really exciting because it's not so much a passive experience anymore, but unleashing this creativity has also unleashed the user's creativity to create channels and create broadcasts and create communities that never existed in the past.
Yeah, I think it is really exciting. From where you started this conversation with the statistics around how people are consuming, all the way to some of the impacts that AI and AR are going to have on the requirements for video to be seamless and no delay, just for that experience to have to be so good, for these new technologies to actually be successful. And it's great to know that there are companies in the background that are building the technologies that really make this possible, because sometimes it's unfortunate, but a lot of the credit goes to the last experience, kind of like that last attribution. Mm-hmm. But it right. takes a real ecosystem, to your point, to actually deliver these futuristic visual cloud experiences that you're talking about. It doesn't just happen because Netflix wants it to happen. It happens because of partnerships with companies and teams like yours at Intel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had many startups that have said, boy, if only I had some optimized base that I could work with to build on top of to create these new capabilities. And so that's really where we started focusing in the Intel Visual Cloud, because we want to make that possible, because that is how our customers win. It's how the service providers win. But also, it just democratizes creativity in a way that wouldn't have been possible in the past.
Absolutely. Hey, Lynn Comp, I want to say thank you so much for spending a little time here on Smack Talk. This particular episode, fascinating. I think everybody out there is going to know something new about the Visual Cloud and the impact that it has on them already today. For Smack Talk, for this particular episode, I want to thank everybody out there. I want you to check out the show notes below. Check out Lynn Comp. Follow her on Twitter or LinkedIn. Keep in touch. Keep on reading. And we will see you back very soon.